The bag is packed with the sticks. The drinks are cold. And the scorecard's ready to go. Time to hit the links.
I don't even know what I said in the postgame show because I was watching. I probably was talking about Bryson and Rory for all I know.
This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
Exciting Brewers game ends with a guy getting gunned down at the plate. And Stevens.
Rory took the lead!
Stevens on Brewers Live talking about Bryson's up and down.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue. Alongside Bally Sports Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
One of the things I think we both like about golf is a lot of times it's not just even necessarily about the game and the things that you do. And this was a tweet that you had seen and shared with me a couple of weeks ago. And we knew we were going to save and put it in the back pocket and bring it up.
On the heels of the 3M Open?
Yeah, exactly.
We didn't want to lead with that, Gabe?
Yeah, shout out to Jonathan Vegas. Congrats, buddy. Yeah. But, you know, because, again, this is one of those things that I think anybody who has played golf, you've probably thought about. I don't know if you debate it much, though. So this was a tweet, and maybe you can add some of these as well. Best golf course beers ranked. And there are six different golf course beers that he ranks. I don't know if you have a different one, and I'd be curious to hear what your rankings are as well. Maybe not six deep, but, you know, maybe your top two or three. But this from, again, at Josh Burhau on Twitter, Josh_Burhau. His first beer, first top-ranked beer, the 19th hole.
I feel like we should have gone from 6 to 1.
Oh, you want to go 6 to 1?
Yeah, let's build the drama.
Okay, number 6, late back 9 beer, in parentheses, this score won't count anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you're throwing away your round at this point.
Yeah, you're just like, hey, okay.
You fired a 45 front, you know, maybe a couple early doubles on the back. You realize you're not turning this round around, so let's fire up, open a couple of cans, have some fun.
Number 5, the post-double bogey beer. In parentheses, double suck.
Yeah, you know, it depends the type of golfer you are, right? Like, if a double will lead to another double, drink them. Drink them often. But some people respond well after doubles. Maybe that liquid courage can help you get there, Gabe.
I'll tell you what, a lot of times, it depends upon the type of double. Like, if it was a bad double, because sometimes there's, like, a good double, right? Like, you hit a bad tee shot, you're able to scramble, you somehow end up saving a double out of what it could have been a worse number. But if it's one of those really bad ones, and I hear that sweet, sweet sound of that gas engine coming my way, guess what's going to happen? She's stopping because we're ordering around for the boys. Number 4 on the best golf course beers ranked list. Number 4, the Turn beer. In parentheses, recharge.
Yeah, for some people it's a recharge. For some people it's, you know, you're just getting off the horse there. And I have my own thoughts later that I will share in my own list, but I'm a big fan of the Turn beer.
Well, especially at our place, the bar's right there.
Yeah, you have like to walk through
it. You got to walk right past it as you're going from 9 to 10. Like, when I think of other golf courses, I mean, sometimes, like, the clubhouse isn't anywhere near where hole 9 is. You're not going to be walking past, but they tempt you at the Wisconsin Country Club, right, because it's right there. Number 3, the post-birdie beer. You deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have the birdie shot.
Well, so that's what I was going to say. Depending upon, there is a very specific group that I play with that any shot is a birdie. Everybody's taking a shot if it's a birdie. If everybody makes par, it becomes a social. It gets dangerous real quick with this very, again, it's a very specific group of people that this ends up happening.
This is
with.
Like Vegas for drinking. Like the game Vegas that can get out of hand really fast on the golf course with money, but you do it with alcohol.
But with alcohol.
That
yes.
sounds like that works out well for everyone.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah. Hopefully you have a designated driver. Number 2, the front 9 beer. This is the life.
Yeah, you know, it is the life. When you're willing to just commit on the front 9, knowing what type of day you're about to have out in front of you, you don't care about your score. You're just happy with the group. You're happy with the surrounding. The vibes are high. I'll tell you what, the front 9 beer, not one I often go for because I like to try and score first before I jump into the alcohol.
Sure.
But there are those select rounds where I know jumping into it with 2 feet, that I'm going to have a fun day regardless of what my score is.
The This Is the Life reminds me of a buddy that I play with, and we'll actually be playing with up in Michigan. We'll get into that in an exciting weekend of golf coming up for us here shortly. But he got to the first tee one day, and he looks at his partner and he goes, "Hey, Pards, no drinking today, just beers." And cracks open the Miller Lite. Like, it's just, all right, this is the life. Yep, this is the life. This is going to be a good day.
Just beers.
No drinking today, just beers. And then the number one, since I already ruined this, number one, the 19th hole beer camaraderie. And honestly, if I am ranking my beers on the golf course beers, I think that's still number one for me, too. There's just something about... whether it's just a group of four or there's still a group with I play with at Brown Deer on occasion, where we can have up to 16 guys, where we've got up to four tee times. And no matter where you are, if you're the first group in, the last group in, meeting up either on the patio or in the bar inside, having a drink, recapping the round, you know, the money's exchanging hands from whatever matches you had going on or whatever money you had on the line. But it's just there's something about everybody hanging out and just having a cold one after the round.
Yeah, I think that drink, that beer is undefeated because you realize why you're there, right? And it is the camaraderie part of it all. There's some jabbing. There's some, to your point, money exchanging. There's scores. There's stories about the round that you can recap. That is probably number one. For me personally, though, I don't like to drink a lot on the golf course.
That's correct, yeah.
It has to be like a bachelor party or just a group of guys I don't get to see very often.
Or coming up hole 13 at Erin Hills after you've played already 9.5 rounds of golf.
Yeah, well, and I think about Erin Hills and... it's almost impossible for me not to get a fescue rescue at the turn there because there's something about just that little spot, that shed right off of number nine.
I mean, calling it a halfway house doesn't seem like that's even right because it is just such a cool, unique
thing.
Yeah,
just I probably go with happy place, that little shed for me. And yeah, the Turn Bar at Wisconsin Country Club, it's really hard to walk by it without getting something. So I feel like... I don't know if it's my favorite, but of this list, it's my most consumed, is that Turn Bar beer.
And
the one at the turn to recharge me, get me going. And you know, I'm fine having a drink or two. I have a lot of friends who can drink 10 on the golf course, and sometimes it makes them better. Not for me. I can't do it. I appreciate those who can, but it's just not for me. And I'm happy with a recharge at the turn type of drink.
And I think where you're at your spot in life, where you've got two young kids at home, the camaraderie beer after is probably few and far between.
Yeah, they're getting a lot rarer.
Because you just, I mean, you had to negotiate to get the round in anyway. I think of when we caddied for each other, and again, just how precious your time can be. You know, you were on this very program, on this show, you told me you were going to be ready to go. Oh man, the range session I'm going to have before we play and we do the caddy thing. I think you arrived at the same time I did. I knew I was coming in hot.
Yeah, my 3 months old blowout did not care about my tee time.
The thing.
There were diapers to be changed. There were outfits to be changed, and, you know, that's just the life I lead right now. I'm very happy with this life, and I understand the reality of it. I root for a fast round because my wife's not stupid. She knows how long it should take me to play. She knows when it creeps over 4 hours. You just finished, huh? So one that can be done in about 3.5, 3:40, budget's in there.
You can have that one drink post-round. You can sneak it in.
And when you can sneak it in, man, that's a good day.
It's funny you mentioned that. A teammate, last week when we were at American Family Field for the X-Golf day that we had out there, which, again, thank you to all those people out there. But our teammate, our MC salesperson who is in charge of that relationship, she was talking to me about how she's kind of recently gotten to golf, and her husband, kids are a little bit older than yours now. I think, one's maybe a teenager, one's, you know, approaching 9 or 10, something like that. And now that their kids are older, she's been getting into golf more, and she's like, oh, I kind of get it now.
Oh.
And she also then like kind of felt bad because when her husband would be gone for 4 or 5 hours. Like, how long does it take to play a round of golf? What are you doing? And then especially if it's like a work round and you have to have those drinks afterwards and you're gone like all day. So, come on, how long it take? Now she's like, oh, I understand now. I get it now. But it's a little bit different when you've got young ones at home and you're leaving mom at home to play a zone defense when dad can get home. At least it's man-to-man.
Yeah, I try not to put her in those positions. She is very good, as I've said many times on this program, and very understanding of my passion. Sometimes, quote-unquote, work, that is golf. And
hey, man, Aaron, look. We have to go out to Aaron Hills and play golf from time to time, Stephen. That is required of us as hosts of On the Tee.
And we have to, you know, consume the food and the drinks and give a proper review of the experience.
We have to go to Scotland.
Yeah,
there's no, what do you want us to do? Not go to Scotland? We are furthering our relationship with our good buddy Jason at Wisconsin Golf Trips.
There are some things that have to be done.
Man. Yeah, and we're the people.
Sacrifices have to be made, but. Do you like to drink on the golf course?
Not a ton. I have a typical standing Friday game that hasn't happened as much as it probably has in years past this year, but we've kind of gotten in the routine the last month or so. And there's something about teeing off at 2 o'clock on a Friday after having a long week. I will usually me and my buddy Mike will get a beer or get, usually it's a White Claw. We're grabbing one as we go out. We're opening it up and we're just going to, and that's just, we're having fun, you know, but typically, no, I'm not drinking a ton on the golf course. Again, I think I was pretty specific about the double. If I make a double and I hear the sound of the cart coming towards me, the chances went up of me going and getting one and being like, I made a double. I need to relax a little bit here and take my mind off of this. But I don't say outside of like that Friday, I'm not drinking a ton on the golf course.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I thinking about this list.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything you would want to add? So, again, the list that we stole had six different examples. The 19th hole, the front nine, post-birdie, the turn beer, post-double bogey beer, and the late back nine beer.
I would say the second drink, the 20th hole beer, would be a nice addition. I don't get to do that very often, but on those days, it's a good day. I'll tell you what. I think the front nine beer is super underrated. Now that I'm really starting to think about some memorable rounds that I've had with buddies, when you can have that first drink, hole three, hole four, that means that your priorities are right. You're about the camaraderie. You're not so much about the score. Maybe I need to work on that a little bit more. I don't know. But I've always enjoyed that front nine beer more than I've enjoyed a back nine beer. Because at least I know what I'm getting into on the front. The back is usually
the back,
in response
it's a,
to not playing very well.
It's a disappointing day, so I might as well make myself feel a little bit better about this. Crack one open.
I'm like a hole four, turn bar.
But also,
and then a big wild card from there.
What is your drink of choice? Is it a beer on the golf course?
No. Well, it depends on the weather.
Okay.
If it's a nice hot summer day, I'm more of a mixed drink type of guy.
Sure.
My friends and listeners of the program, Blake and Seth, have gotten me into tequila recently.
Oh.
Not normally a big tequila guy. I like a vodka lemonade, vodka soda.
Mm-hmm.
But I like a tequila soda with a couple of lemons has been a nice refreshing.
Wow.
Añejo in particular.
You even have the specific brand of tequila down.
Yeah, it's That's been a nice refresher on the golf course for a lot of the guys in the last few seasons.
Yeah, it just kind of gives you something to talk about. What is your favorite favorite time for a beer or a drink on the golf course? You can debate that with your buddies next time.
We should throw a poll up on that.
Yeah, we can definitely throw a poll up on that. The 19th hole, you had mentioned the turn beer and post-double bogey. We'll throw those three up, and then if you want to write in, we'll throw that up on Twitter at ESPN Milwaukee as well. Speaking of,
Drinking events?
Member guests! Both Steven and I have one, although they are different. We'll dive into that in some exciting golf that we have coming up next here on the tee. But I do want to remind you, we are going to Scotland with our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trips. Time is running out. If you want to sign up, it's your last chance to go with us to Scotland in October. Just text GOLF to 800-990-3776. See the great itinerary that Jason has put together, the great plan that Jason has put together for a once-in-a-lifetime trip to the home of golf. Play golf the way it was meant to be played with Stephen and I and a whole host of other people as we go to Scotland in October, thanks to our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trips. I am excited for this weekend. Steven is excited for this weekend as we're both playing in a member guest. Although I will not be playing in our member guest that we have at Wisconsin Country Club. Steven will be playing in that. I am playing in one in Madison with a dear friend of mine, and I always look forward to it. There's just something about member guest season, Steven, that you want to talk about camaraderie. To me, there is no event that I look forward to more than the member guest.
Yeah, well, this is actually going to be only the third member guest I've ever played in, and I'm very fortunate to come from a golf family. My grandfather and my dad kind of helped me fall in love with this sport, and so this is going to be my third member guest. All three are going to be with my dad. He's flying in from Philadelphia to come play with me this weekend. I've played in Philadelphia with him, and he's played at Wisconsin Club, now Wisconsin Country Club's member guest. Will be his second year. So that's what I mean, I don't care how we play. I don't care how many Anejo sodas we consume at the turn bar. I realize how fortunate and blessed I am to be able to enjoy this experience with my dad. And I know how rare that is in this game to have that bond built by this sport. And you know, have a dad that still loves to play and wants to be competitive and is able to play. And so, man, I've been looking forward to this since I first signed up months and months and months ago.
Again, if you want, I mean, if you get invited to a member guest, you are going to have a blast. If you're a member of a club, I couldn't recommend signing up enough. I'm bummed. I was thinking when I joined Wisconsin Country Club, oh, I'll get to play in two this year. Unfortunately, ends up conflicting with one I've played in. Probably, oh man, I only missed 1 year, and that was a couple of years ago because of a wedding that I was officiating, so I couldn't miss out on that wedding. That happened to be this upcoming weekend, the same first weekend in August. But I've probably played in it 5 years, five out of the last 6 years, something like that, where I go, it's a buddy of mine that I've known forever back when I lived in Madison, and I don't get to see him much because him and his wife have two young kids. You know, they're not, you know, At a point where they're coming to Milwaukee a ton. I'm not going to Madison a ton. Everybody's busy, but I always get to cherish spending time with two old dear friends of mine that I don't get to see all that often. And just the camaraderie around it. Yes, there's a competitive element to it. You obviously want to do well in the matches that you play. But even, for example, last year. So last year, typically we haven't played the practice round. And we decided to sign up for the practice round for the first time last year. He was able to get off work. I was able to make it work with my work schedule. And we played with just two random guys who were just incredibly nice. And they became like our buddies. Like, we were sitting with them. They were in a different flight. So during the different meals, like, we would typically sit with them. If you're unfamiliar with member guests, part of the fun as well is betting.
Yeah.
The paramutual, where you're putting different, you know, money down on people to win, play, show, and obviously you want to bet on yourself because not only then do you win, but then you win money.
Yes.
If you should win the member guest. I put a random $30 down on these guys, you know, a 10-10-10. They won the whole bleeping thing.
Oh, that's fun. Good payday.
I think me and Tom, my buddy, were the only other ones who put money on.
Oh, even more money.
Because we ended up getting like $900 a piece. For this, for them winning on a $10 bet. I don't think anybody else had money down on these guys. And again, but it was so cool to kind of, you know, become friends with these two guys over the week and then see them win. It was such a cool thing. And the camaraderie that exists if you go out and play the emergency nine or just hanging out and just the different opportunities that you have to see and play with other people who absolutely love the game and just have fun with it. I mean, we played emergency golf last year till dark. Like, going out, I think it was 20 guys, 10 different groups playing a two-man scramble. and, you know, just playing for skins until you can't see your ball go anymore. It's just, it's such a unique experience. And again, I understand not everybody can. That's why I'm saying if you have the opportunity to join a club, if somebody invites you, try to make it happen because it is just so much fun.
And you talk about camaraderie. I mean, one of the things I always think about with member guests is when you've got 15 groups teeing off on the same hole, and you know, you play until one is standing. And that
the shootout at the end.
Like, a shootout is usually how somebody is crowned a winner, but we did it last year. My dad and I didn't play very well together, but we still did it as like a consolation bracket. Everybody went out there and played down 10 and 11 and 12 until there was one team standing, and it truly is a unique experience. That it's the right balance of competitiveness and camaraderie, because you're out there to try and win, but I think most people there have the right perspective of the rare opportunity to...
Well, you're playing, like you're playing with your dad.
Yeah.
I'm playing with a friend I don't get to see all that often. It's about enjoying the time with the person that either invited you or you invited, and just... You know, again, some of these 9-hole rounds are taking a while because you've got so many people out in the golf course. So it's just kicking back, trying to hit some good shots, but just enjoying time with somebody maybe you don't get to spend as much time as you'd like with.
How have you guys done in the past in your event together?
We missed the shootout by a half point last year. Mm. Like, we missed winning we missed getting into a chip off to try to get in, because the way they do it at Blackhawk in Madison, winner of every flight gets into the stampede, the shootout, whatever you want to call it at the end. And then second place gets into a chip off, and like the top two teams from the chip off also get in. So we were a full point missed out of tying for first, and then a half point out of being in second. So we were really competitive. It was great to be that close. So, you know, we want to do well, but also it may have happened a couple of years ago where we played pretty well. We were in great shape after Friday. Like, the two matches coming up on Saturday, we were thinking, okay, we do all right. We're gonna put ourselves in a really good spot. We may have stayed up until 2:33 in the morning on his porch, enjoying a beverage or two, listening to music, like, you know, like we were 26 years old.
Yeah,
or something.
And that's what you remember from the weekend.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Like, and then guess what happened? Saturday did not go very well. But I mean, it was so great. We even, like, his wife was trying to go to bed, and we peer pressured her into having a couple of drinks with us, because, like, the amount of times that when I was living in Madison, they lived right across the street from the Echo Tap.
Okay.
I'm sure you're familiar with the Echo Tap. They lived right across the street. The number of times I would go to the Echo Tap and then just walk across the street and spend the night on their couch in the apartment that they had when they were just dating before they were married, can't even count it. Can't even count it. So that, you know, the three of us have hung out so many times in the past, so that's why we felt the need to peer pressure her, even though she was trying to be a responsible adult. At the time, they only had one of their two children, and obviously she had to get up in the morning to take care of said child, but...
Yeah. You Do you know a lot of pressures. The other people playing in the event?
I know a couple here or there, you know, that we've gotten to know over the years. One person that I've known from my time in Madison who's actually in our flight and going to be our first match coming up on Friday. Still looking forward to that and having fun. But again, there are just so many great memories that can be created. And you are making a different memory even, because you're not playing in your practice round at Wisconsin Country Club on Thursday.
Yeah. Well, my mom is a really big golfer as well. And I felt a little guilty about, you know, the memories that I can create with my dad through the member guest this upcoming weekend. And, you know, they're both going to fly out here to Milwaukee. So we're going to go out and play Whistling Straits on Thursday night. Just the three of us, last tee time of the day, hoping Mother Nature delivers a memorable finish with that sunset. We'll wait and see. Not looking so great right now at the forecast.
We're days away from
I know. But I'm checking about every hour.
That's fair. I mean, hey, look, I've been checking the weather for Harris, Michigan the last handful of days.
Well, they
too.
Also have terrible flight luck, so I just hope they get here on Thursday in a timely manner.
Sure.
We have, you know, 3:40 tee time on the Straits. Going to finish at about 8:30, which is true sunset dusk. Might need some of those glow-up balls we used in the Dream Loop last summer. But, yeah, I mean, that's... that's going to put a cherry on top to what this weekend is all about for me personally, is I'm going to get the opportunity to play with both of my parents on a course that I absolutely love and played with them a decade ago. When I first moved to Milwaukee, that was the first course we played together in Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
It was Whistling Straits, the three of us as part of a larger group. And the fact that we're going to be able to do that again together, hopefully get a memorable round and all play well. And fun fact for you, Gabe, that I have also brought up on this program before. My parents have combined three hole-in-ones, and I've been there for all three of those. So maybe we've got some magic in the air at Whistling Straits, because they have not witnessed a hole-in-one by me yet, and I'd love to have number two on that property, because that is what sparked me jumping into the pond at Wisconsin Country Club, was a discussion of what it would mean to jump into Lake Michigan if we had that opportunity on one of those par threes.
If your mom or dad makes an ace on one of those par threes, because again, famously at the Straits, all the par threes are along Lake Michigan. Would you try to peer pressure them to jump into the lake?
Oh, yeah. It's a full Watson party in the lake. Yeah. I mean, we might need a lifeboat out there. We'll go swimming together.
If you jump in the lake this time, can you do me a favor? Don't bring the ball with you.
Yeah. Well.
although
that was not one of my finer moments, but that was pure adrenaline.
At the Straits, I'm guessing if you see it go in, you're making the bolt from the tee box. Or are you going to go up to the green and check to make sure before you make the
bolt? No, you can see all the holes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But
I'm guessing you're making a bolt.
We're really only having this conversation right now to try and speak this into existence once again.
It worked last year. I still can't believe how it worked last year. I've told that story to a couple of different people I've brought out to Wisconsin Country Club now on the 11th hole. And I always have to start with, for whatever reason, we were talking about holes in one for 2 weeks straight on the show.
Yeah.
And less than a week after we spoke it into existence of you jumping in,
I couldn't think of a better place to do it than Whistling Straits on a beautiful night.
Oh, yeah. You would be, again, a little bit of a longer walk in, but be well worth it. Be well worth it. We have spoken a lot about the Wisconsin Country Club. They are a new partner here on the tee. Steven and I, big fans of it. If you want to go check it out, open house from 4 to 6:30 coming up on Thursday, August 1st. But the reason why we love being out there is because of the golf course. We absolutely love it. It is a greatly taken care of golf course. It is a great challenge. I've taken some friends out there who haven't been out there in a number of years and go, oh, wow, forgot how some of the tough these holes can be, how great these greens are. But maybe you're somebody who, yeah, you like golf, but you have a family. Great options with the pool, tennis, pickleball, workout facilities. So many great options for you and your family. So come join us out at the Wisconsin Country Club.
This is On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN. It started with a whisper.
I don't think I've really got into Olympic golf the first two times around. And it was funny. I was talking about Olympic golf earlier this morning with Chewy on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And I had mentioned Olympic golf. He goes, golf's in the Olympics?
Yeah, a lot of people still probably doesn't click.
Started in 2016, and some of the big names went. Others decided that they were going to use the Zika virus as a reason not to go, including Rory McIlroy. And then, you know, 2021 rolls around, people kind of forget about it. But yes, it is, and it's going to be at Le Golf National, where a couple of years ago they had the Ryder Cup there. I feel like I'm kind of excited, but I still don't know. I don't know how much I'm going to be into the Olympic golf, just because I haven't gone in and just jumped in head first at all with the previous two iterations. How do you feel about Olympic golf?
Well, the first thing I think about when I think of Olympic golf was how bad the fields were the last two times.
Yeah.
And looking at the field right now, I'm actually pretty fired up, Gabe. I mean, we've got some big names competing. There is no PGA versus LIV in this situation. You're going to see players representing their country, and the tours don't matter. And I think that already just kind of gets me fired up, just not having that drama of who's going to win this one? Is it going to be a LIV guy? I think it's just cool to see guys play for their country. And the past two winners, Justin Rose and Xander Schauffele, spoke deeply about how much it meant to them to be able to represent their country in a completely different way.
Well, when Ricky Fowler played in 16, he loved it so much, he has the Olympic rings tattooed on his forearm.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that's unique for these guys, is they're a part of an Olympic village, and they get to be a part of the opening ceremonies, and they kind of realize in a sport that is an individual sport that they're a part of something a little bit bigger. That's what we love about the Ryder Cup, is that guys playing for each other more so than just themselves and for their country. And the fact that it's going to be played on a golf course that just recently hosted a Ryder Cup that Team Europe dominated USA on, I think that will add some juice to this as well. I love Team USA's roster. To see Xander, Scotty, Wyndham, and is it Bryson?
Who's
No, because
Bryson.
Morikawa.
It's Colin Morikawa, yeah. Because it's Bryson World Golf Rankings, him being at Levy didn't accumulate enough.
But still, I love that. I mean, that's a good foursome, a representative foursome for Team USA. Maybe could have talked me out of Wyndham being the fourth on
List. Like if you switched out Bryson for Wyndham, I think it would be more exciting for everyone. And I'm saying this as the resident guy who doesn't like Bryson. But
just the seasons that Xander and Scotty have had this year, to see them go for a medal, knowing what that did for Xander's career, a lot of other guys looking for maybe the Olympics to be a jump start for them. I think about Ludwig as somebody who is going to be, you know, playing in his first Olympics and has had a great golf season, but hasn't, you know, didn't have the best last few weeks on the PGA Tour and major championships. I have a surprise pick for you that we'll get to at some point in this segment. But overall, I think I'm just excited to see a different style of golf. I think that's just kind of what I look at now in the grander picture of professional golf. I just want to see little things different. And I think the Olympics is different enough that I know it's not a Ryder Cup, and I know it's not a PGA Tour event, and I know it's not a major. Let's see how it shakes out.
I think that the more we get accustomed to this, and obviously they'll have golf in 2028 when it's out in Los Angeles, the more excited I'm probably going to continue to get, especially when it's out in LA, because it's going to be easy to consume because it's going to be on at a pretty normal time.
They're playing that one at Riviera. Right?
Yeah, which is going to be,
that'll be cool.
Spectacular. But the fact that it's only on Peacock, I just hate how they're making it difficult for you to consume if you're a golf fan. Maybe you already have Peacock. I do. But also, it's been watching the Olympics has been so easy during the middle of the day. If you know, I'm here in the studio, if I happen to be at home with YouTube TV, because everything, here are all the Olympic options for me to watch right now. I can watch in a multi-view. But so to only put it on Peacock, I think, is disappointing, especially when NBC has, you know, a channel called The Golf Channel. Them not putting it on there is a little disappointing. But I think I'm still fairly excited for it because of all the big names that are in it. And having a gold medal is cool. Having a silver medal or a bronze medal is cool. And the more that these guys play the events and Xander's got two majors and a gold medal. I understand the gold medal probably doesn't mean as much as the two majors, especially because that's what you grow up wanting to do. But the longer this is around, the more that the younger generation sees it and wants it to be a part of it. So it's only going to gain prestige.
Yeah.
Because, again, when our teammate here in Matt Hamilton, who has a gold medal in curling, is playing in a Korn Ferry Tour Pro-Am, and he's marking his ball with that gold medal. Like, that's cool. Like, having a gold medal is awesome.
An all-time flex, by the way,
yes,
from Matt Hamilton. I think it doesn't matter what sport you play, and kind of the beauty of the Olympics are the sports you see that you've not used to watching or knowing even existed, honestly. That doesn't take away from the ability to call yourself an Olympian is something that I will never experience. But I imagine for these guys, that's got to be one of the coolest things to say about your athletic career, is that you were an Olympian. And I hope that this event continues to take off like it has in its third, you know, edition of it. And we've already seen that from the names that are playing in it. And I hope we get some good competition because it's a different format. You know, we're not going to see 72 holes from these guys, right? Isn't it just...
No, it's 72.
Is it 72?
Yeah, four holes, stroke play.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a live event or something.
No, yeah, I don't know what you were thinking. Because there are a lot of people out there that have complained about, why doesn't the Olympics do something different? Well, because when they decided that golf was going to be a sport, they went to the PGA Tour, which, again, back in 2016, it's not like they went to live didn't exist. Hey, how do you guys determine who your best golfers are? Oh, we play four rounds of stroke play. All right, then that's what we're going to do. Because that's what the majors are, and the Olympics wants this to be taken seriously. So they want to do, you know, the best way to crown whoever the best golfer is and win that gold medal. So that's why they aren't doing anything different. Would I like to see them do some sort of team golf as a part of this as it evolves? I think that'd be nice. I think that'd be good. But I understand why this is the format. This is why they do it, because the four majors and the PGA Tour before that have all decided, hey, four rounds of stroke play is how we determine who the best is, and that's what the Olympics wanted to copy.
And ultimately, it would be cool one day to have maybe on a Tuesday, Wednesday, some sort of match play format where, you know, you see in just gymnastics where you have individual events and team events, right?
Yeah.
And you could do it like that. But you also have to remember these guys are still in the middle of a PGA Tour schedule. And the Wyndham's next
week. Same thing with the women. You know, they've got a major coming up after this.
Yeah. I'm excited. I think it's going to be, and it's going to be overseas. So it'll be some early morning golf, which is also, you know, just like the Open, good coffee golf opportunity for all of us to enjoy some good golf.
We'll see how Friday goes with the member guest to see how early I may consider getting up for the Saturday round.
That's fair.
That could be tough.
Yeah, well, it'll be playing maybe on the boards around.
Oh, yeah, there you go. The respective places. All right, Gruber Lofts is one call. That's all. Your pick for the gold medalist at the Olympics.
I'm going to flip this on you, and I want two picks for Gruber Lofts this week. Who's going to win gold?
Okay.
And who's going to do better between Xander and Scotty?
I was going to pick Scotty to win, so I'm going to say Scotty.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Scotty ends up getting a gold medal. I think the greens are going to be running pretty quick. I think he's going to be able to recover enough from the way he putted at the Open. So I am going to say Scotty Scheffler. I also say John Rahm ends up winning a medal, just as a bonus pick in there. He just won his first live events.
Yeah.
I think maybe he's starting to play some decent golf.
Played well at the Open.
But he played better at the Open. He played well when it was here a few years ago for the European team. So I'm going to say he ends up with a medal as well.
I have kind of two surprise hot takes for you.
Okay.
I think Colin Morikawa is going to place the best of the Americans.
Ooh.
I have him winning silver.
Okay.
And then I have, as my Gruber Lofts is one call that's all pick, just like 2020/21 jump-started Xander Schauffele, eventually winning a major, I've got Fairway Jesus to take home the gold medal. Tommy Fleetwood is going to win gold.
I thought you were going to go Ludwig.
No, I thought about it.
I thought you were foreshadowing by mentioning him earlier. I'm like, oh, okay.
A guy who's put himself in contention for a number of years and has never been able to get over the top. I've got Tommy Fleetwood, who, if you remember in that Ryder Cup, dominated that golf course.
Him and Molinari went 5-0. They dominated. I don't know if it's a strong enough word for what those guys did to Team USA.
How about Tommy Fleetwood to win gold?
There you go. I like it. That's our Gruber Lofts is one call. That's all. Rory McIlroy also going to be playing in the Olympics, but he was also recently spotted playing someplace else. We dive into that coming up next, but I do want to tell you about our friends at The Bog. Steven and I are going to be out there later this golf season, but we've been out there a lot already. 100 holes with the Mac Fund because The Bog is so generous. We were out there for the ESPN Milwaukee Open. It's a great golf course, a fun golf course. If you've played it before, if you haven't played it before, you need to get back out there. So join them at golfthebog.com. But I'm thinking, we have not seen or heard from Rory McIlroy since he... Man, I thought he was going to compete at the Open, and he flamed out spectacularly. Missed the cut at the Open Championship, but he is participating in the Olympics. He's playing in the Olympics at Le Golf National here coming up this week.
So he's probably going to go win gold, let's be honest.
I mean, it's very possible, but he hadn't played any golf until, I think, late last week or over the weekend. He was caught And I guess that's probably not even the word. He was seen because...
Spotted?
Yeah, spotted. Caught seems like he did something wrong when he was just playing the old course. He said it was the first time that he had decided to get a game, as he said, since the Open Championship. So he decided, let's go make sure the skills are sharp at the old course, which is a spectacular flex on his part.
Rory, what do you say to that? This is a guy who was... publicly said that he has not had to pay for a round of golf in like decades.
Oh yeah.
And just to be able to be like, you know what? Let's just go play San Andrews while we're waiting to get things going in France.
If you had to pick, you hadn't played golf in a couple of weeks, you had taken a couple of weeks off, you had to dive back in just to kind of, okay, let's make sure the skills are sharp. Is there a course that you would pick to go to like Rory just picked St. Andrews?
Is Augusta an option? I don't know.
I mean, you tell me. Places that you've already played that you would go back to.
Gosh, that's hard not to answer Pebble.
Okay.
I got to play Pebble in 2019 with my family. That's one where there's no feeling quite like being on the tee box on a number of those holes. And if I could go play it without a greens fee... That sounds like a fun place to sign me up for. But, I mean, I haven't been to the old course. I'm hoping to get there in October with On the Tee and our group that's heading over there. So that would be, if you're just trying to have a moment of kind of therapy and reflection, I imagine that would probably be number one on my list. But stateside, I'll go with Pebble because I think that stretch of four or five holes, I've never felt anything like that on a golf course than what I felt going from 6 through 10 at Pebble Beach.
I kind of lean towards Erin Hills, especially if I can catch it on a slow day where it feels like you're one of the... I haven't had that feeling yet at Erin Hills. Like a couple of years ago, we went out to the Straits when we played it with Mike O'Reilly.
Yeah.
To be on that course, I mean, honestly, I don't know if I'll ever experience that on a top 100 golf course ever again, where they had some sort of event, and we went out behind the event on hole 10. And by the time Stephen pelted me in the ass with a golf ball on hole 11,
what a day.
We that was it. That was the last time we saw people. We get to hole 12, the par 3, and just everybody's gone. Like, we saw the people. It was some sort of shotgun start. They were gone off 11. Replicating that feeling, like, that's like a mental get-right day, right? Like, nobody else is out there. And we got the Chamber of Commerce Day, which I am hoping you get on Thursday.
That was in October.
That was in the middle of October, and we could not have asked for better weather. I don't know if I've played... I have no idea what I shot that day. I think I played pretty decent because Mike O'Reilly was kind of... Not only was he our playing partner, he was kind of our caddy that day, too.
Yeah, he's a good host.
Where he was just shepherding us around. I think I played pretty well from what I remember, but what I remember most is the three of us and having a great time and being the only ones on a golf course like that and being able to enjoy the views of Lake Michigan and just kind of, like, it was a mental get right. Whereas Rory's probably making sure that the golf swing's good. This was like a mental get right thing. If I could recreate that, I guess, and I guess I'm talking myself back into the Whistling Straits thing. If I could recreate that, that's what I would do.
Yeah, that was one that, I don't know if we'll ever have that type of experience
ever again. Ever again.
On that property that has no tee times available because it's so popular. To have just had a sunset and a night like that, the two of us walking out there just kind of reflecting. And, you know, we had some deep conversations that night, too, just about how fortunate we are to be able to do this and play this game that we love on properties like that. Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way about Erin Hills. You know how much I adore that property as well.
You're coming up 18. I haven't been able to do this in a while because usually when we play, it's earlier because we do the show after.
Yeah.
But being one of the last tee times and coming up 18 and kind of that golden hour sunlight, that's pretty special out at Erin Hills too.
Oh my gosh! When the sun's setting over Holy Hill, and it almost looks like there's a spotlight glowing on Holy Hill. Yeah, it's the long shadows at Erin Hills. There's not many visuals like that, and I mean, I'll throw Sand Valley into that too. I've played sunrise and sunset golf at Sand Valley.
Sunrise doesn't describe what you've played at Sand Valley.
Yeah, we finished on the Dream Loop, 36 holes by 8:30 in the morning. That was true. Glow up balls and long shadows to start the day. Almost done 36 holes before anybody teed off on the property.
Speaking of Erin Hills, again, join them. Maybe not for 2024, but maybe 2025. Check them out. ErinHills.com, a top 10 public course, according to Golf
Digest. Going to be a big summer there next year.
Oh, 2025 U.S. Women's Open as well. Enjoy Olympic golf, everybody. I will not be back. I've got a little golf trip that I'm sure we'll talk about later, but Steven will be here next week on the team.